Thanks be to God. I don't know about any of you if you have tree trimming traditions in your family, but we have tree trimming traditions in our family. Back when we didn't buy those trees that already were lit, the procedure was we got the tree, Leo strung the lights, and then Wes would proceed to put the ornaments on the tree. Well, he doesn't live with us now, so Leo and I have to go about that process of putting on ornaments since I've circumvented that lighting thing. We buy the already pre-lit trees. But what happens for me is that as the ornaments come out, everything about who I am and whose I am comes out. The ornaments that the kids made when they were little, the ornaments my mother made for when I was far away that I would feel connected. And after she passed, all the ornaments that were hers that now go up on the tree. For me, when I'm trimming the tree, I'm remembering my heritage and whose I am. Well, our Christmas tree does the same thing. For us, we trim it with those symbols of the Lord of our faith. And we come out on that very special Saturday night, and together, as the body of Christ, we trim our tree. And even times in the church's history, I'm sure you've had your chrismon sessions where you have made those particular ornaments to remind yourselves of whose you are. Well, the Jesse tree, as I spoke to the children today, is that tree that reminds us that we are part of the family of God. And in this morning's scripture from Isaiah, the tree symbol became quite eloquent for the people. As Isaiah said, a shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse. Often, prophets use those kind of natural and nature-type illustrations because the people understood that. Their lives weren't bombarded by visual images. Their lives were bombarded by their world. And they could understand that sense that that stump of Jesse, that a shoot would come out. These were people who believed that that lineage, that tree of Jesse, that heritage that God had promised them had been cut off at the stump. That there would no longer be a king. That there would no longer be those things that they imagined. And Isaiah says, no, the stump is not dead. He says, from the stump a shoot shall come out, and a branch shall grow from its roots. Have you ever had one of those trees that you've tried to get rid of and you've cut it off at the ground? You haven't pulled the roots out because you can't, but you cut it off. And every spring, one of those branches shoots up from the roots. Well, that's what Isaiah is telling the people, that even when they think they have lost everything, there is hope still there. What appears to be dead is not. And then he goes on to tell them who that remnant is. He says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him. We've gone from a branch, we've gone from a shoot to a person. So now they understand that that which they had thought was long past will come to pass. That one day, the Lord will send him, that the Spirit will rest upon him, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And it says, his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. Now, when they were hearing this, they weren't seeing Jesus. They were not seeing the man who came and walked among us as we know him. They were seeing that triumphant king. The one who would bring them back their glory days. But Isaiah reminds them, he shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. That this particular man, this particular Messiah will come and he will be able to discern the spirit of the people. And then he says, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity the meek of the earth. So he speaks of judgment. Judgment for the poor, judgment for the meek. And sometimes we might think, well, that means all sorts of things. But we really can't understand what that judgment will look like, because it is the Lord's judgment. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Judgment isn't a pretty thing. Judgment isn't that wondrous time when the imagery we're going to move into happens. In order to get to that place of peace, we must go through that place of judgment. But what we are told is the one who comes is not one who will judge with any sense of earthly prejudice, because he's going to judge with righteousness and with faithfulness and his relationship to the God who loves him and the God who loves the world. And then Isaiah brings us this beautiful imagery of what happens when we go through that place of judgment. He says, the wolf shall live with the lamb. Can you imagine what that might look like? That fierce predator will lie down, will be humbled enough to lie down beside that which he would eat. And imagine not only that humbleness, but that strength and courage of the lamb to lie down beside the one who would consume him. That what is happening in this particular space is not just the fierce predator is becoming humbled, but those who are considered meek and lowly are becoming courageous. Both have to go through a transformation of one form or another. The cow and the bear shall graze, and their young shall lie down together. Can you imagine a world, not just where our animals are at peace with one another, but can you imagine a world where all the people are at peace with one another? That those of us who are angry and feel hurt give that up to embrace the one who hurt us, and the one who hurt us be willing to admit what they had done. Isaiah goes on to say that they will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, and that a little child shall lead them. Can you see that world? Can you see that world? And he says then, on that day, he moves from the shoot to the root. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Because on that day, when people see those who are at odds, animal creatures and humans who have been at odds with one another coming into a place of peace, they will know that it wasn't about one person, but it was about God. That the root of Jesse isn't just Father Abraham. That root goes deeper and deeper into creation to be the God who loves us. And that shoot that comes from that God who loves us is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, had we read the appropriate Matthew passage this morning, we would have heard a different story about tree trimming. The passage scheduled for this morning was Matthew 3, verses 1 through 12. And I want you to listen to this morning, Because you've already heard our shepherd speak of John the Baptist, haven't you? In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was lotus and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. And every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me, and I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." John the Baptist's use of the image of the tree is definitely a very different kind of trimming. It's about a pruning. It's about a cutting off. It's about that judgment that we must go through in order to get to that time of peace. And John the Baptist is reminding us that in order to get through that and come to that time, to be with all of those who will be there in peace, that we must repent. So he calls us to prepare for the way of the Lord, the Lord who comes and brings the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is here with us today. Holy Spirit is at work in the world, is an agent of peace. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have faith in the promise of peace. So may this season we become rooted in the love of God, that we may produce the fruit of peace. Because we are part of that heritage. We were grafted onto that tree. We are inheritors of the promise of God through Jesus Christ. And God will fulfill that promise. If you can't imagine what that might look like, I want you to just for a moment think about one thing. As you look here and you see our Lord praying just before he dies on the cross, you see that blood red that he is covered in. Do you see it pouring out here, out over the altar? God shed his blood for us. Isaiah gives us that promise that God will come again, and that in order for us to be there in that beautiful image of peace, we must go through that time of judgment, and we must take that first step of asking for forgiveness. I know we don't have an altar that you can come and kneel on, but you have your pew, you have your time. You can take that opportunity you wish to take. If you even wish to turn around and kneel in your own pew and ask the Lord to come into your heart, to bring about that change, to allow the love of God to transform your lives so that the tree of Jesse will bear great fruit for the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As a response to God's word, let us stand and affirm what